But the title for my sermonette today is Walk the Talk. Brethren, many times we are faced with opportunities in our lives to walk the talk. This week for my family has definitely been one of those weeks where the opportunity to do so is very much in the forefront of our minds and in our lives. And we can put up a good front. We can make it look like we are observing what we are saying. We can even fool ourselves at times. But I wonder, how often are we willing to go outside of our comfort zones and to do what is really needed? Now, what do I mean by this? I was thinking as I was writing this message about three specific times in my life where I really, and I mean really, sought to put God first. And that effort was worth it. These three times that I was thinking of came when I was at the end of my rope, metaphorically speaking, meaning I had nowhere else to turn to. Things were so terrible at such a low point in my life that I really had nowhere else to go except to God. The first time, I remember, I had been out of work for over a year, maybe a little bit more. I was feeling miserable, useless, hopeless. And I remember finally fasting, asking God for help, asking him for repentance, telling him that I was ready to leave it all at his feet and I needed him to provide something. He opened a door and he provided. And I've had the next job, or the job that I have now, for 13 years, almost. The next two times I felt this way, and I was in a similar boat. Again, I remember fasting, praying, making sure I was doing daily Bible study as I threw myself at God and at his mercy. Brethren, it is very easy in this life to lose the type of connection that we need to have with God. Satan knows this very well. And Satan will do everything in his power to get us to lose our connection with God, because that is our lifeline. I remember the feeling that I had internally when I was really attempting to walk with God in this manner. It was one of those feelings where you can feel safe, where you feel no matter what is going on, you can not have to worry about those things. But feelings are like the wind. They come and they go. What is truly needed is a realization that understanding where we are going in our lives, and to understand that we are meant to include God in this journey. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, King David poses this question. Psalm 119 and verse 9, he starts out and he says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments, and your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I would delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." young, middle-aged, old, it doesn't matter. According to God, the relationship that we build through our lives, that is the most important thing. And maybe you have felt at times when you have dug in, just as I am having to do right now, that God shows himself faithful when we do this, when we put forth that effort. Like King David just said, help me to remember, help me to continue to do these things throughout my life. As I mentioned earlier, this week for my family has been one of a lot of trials. There's a lot that keeps going wrong in our lives. Our TV got broken this week, minor thing. One of our ducks disappeared last night. My wife and my son are extremely sick right now. We got told that our landlords were looking to sell their place. Thankfully, that fell through, but obviously they are still looking to do so. Our sink, the hose burst on Wednesday, and I had to buy a new piece that came in yesterday. All these things, they just keep stacking up one on top of each other. In the book of James, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. All these challenging circumstances right now are for the purpose of drawing close to God, for allowing him to show himself mighty, powerful, and capable. As a man, I would like to think that I myself am powerful. I can do things on my own. I can accomplish things. I can make things happen. But the truth and the reality is that that really slaps you in the face at times. In the grand scheme of things, who am I really? What power do I have really? I feel like Job had the same revelation in his life. And God had to drag him back to reality. He had to draw Job back to himself. Job knew who God was. He trusted God. He obeyed God, so much so that Satan goes before God and God says, have you seen Job? This guy's amazing. In Job chapter 38 and verse 1, after an immense amount of his trial going on for a very long time, this is what God says to Job. Job 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by wisdom, or by words without knowledge, excuse me? He's essentially asking Job, who do you think you are? What knowledge do you really have? Continuing. Now, prepare yourself like a man. The literal translation of this says, gird up your loins like a man. Put your pants on and be ready. God tells him to get things together. He says, because I'm going to ask you some questions. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I just read that, sorry. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? In the next few chapters, God continues to ask questions of Job, getting him to think not just about himself. Job's final answer in chapter 42 is heart-wrenching and so apropos. He says, Job 42, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do anything or everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, "Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?" Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, "I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." Job humbled himself. He learned what it truly means to walk the talk. It requires humbling of ourselves before God. It requires not leaning on our own supposed might. Reminds me of the people at the time of the Tower of Babel. And God was saying, there's nothing that these people won't try to do. But it took the focus off of God. Brethren, when we attempt to lean on our own ways, our own powers, it becomes useless. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter tells us, 1 and verse 13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." This is our story, brethren. You and I are here, and we are meant to live our lives. But we are meant to live it with God, giving him the glory, giving him the honor. What we have been given by God and Christ is beyond comprehension. I read this quote the other day, and it was partially what I, how I came to write this sermon, and it says, "What you achieve isn't as important as who you become in the process, because the growth you experience along the way lasts far longer than any accomplishment. True success lies in transformation, not the trophy." Success for us in our Christian lives is entering into the family of God. And that is the ultimate goal that we each seek. So I'll close now with something that the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Timothy, I missed the chapter, but in verse 4, hopefully you can find the chapter. I guess it's verse 7. But he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not only to me only, but also to all who has loved his appearing." Paul had every opportunity to quit because his journey was hard. Brethren, to walk the talk means to actively live out our faith and our commitment to God, no matter what happens in our lives, knowing that the things that we go through are meant for us. They're meant for our process. They're meant for us individually so that we can grow closer to Him, so that we can accomplish what He has called us to do.